Okay, it's the Queen's Club call, which means that if you have lost 25 pounds or more since joining No BS, you are now in our Queen's Club. And this is your special call where you can get coached, you can ask questions, you can do all the things. So let me get my stuff. Melissa, you're going to be first. We'll get you on up here. Ooh, my eyes itching. Ooh. Eyes itching. I got a cat running around here trying to tear my couch up. Finally had to turn my couch over to my cat. She owns it. All right, Melissa, what are we coaching on?
So since I saw you at camp, I am signed up. I have five surgeries scheduled.
All right.
Yeah, so it's like five liposuctions, and I have to go to Missouri. I'm in Ohio. So I was thinking, what two things? What do you wish you knew before you went into surgeries that would have helped you? You know, because like you get all the swelling and all of that. And can you think any journal prompts that I could maybe work through? Because the
Yeah.
next 6 months are kind of just like, I'm going to go to Missouri for 4 days, come back. Then 4 weeks later, go back to Missouri for 4 weeks and come back. Like it's going to be a whirlwind.
So the first thing I would do is not call it a whirlwind.
Okay. Yeah.
I would just like talk about it as factually as possible. Just like I'm going to be there and I will bet you I can find a routine there and I'm going to be home and then I'll be in a routine here. Like just really kind of thinking about how you can make, you know, because there's going to be so much back and forth, how you can find some normalcy, some routine in it, but also expecting that you will be out of your normal routine. You will be traveling and stuff. And so there's going to be figuring out things. And that's going to be helpful. I always
Okay.
find that whenever anything lends itself to be described as stressful, it's on me to take it down a big notch. Taking it down a notch is always going to be helpful. For you asked, like, what is the one thing I knew about surgeries? I will tell you, I don't know if liposuction is going to be the same, but I will just tell you what I do. Before I go under, the last thing I take is some Colace. And the first thing I'm doing when I get up is I am taking Miralax. Are you going to have to be sedated?
No, I'm not gonna. It's not general and it's outpatient. So I'll have like
Okay.
Ativan and then it's tumescent lipo. So they put lidocaine and epinephrine like in as they go. So I'll be awake-ish, but
Okay.
there still is some medication and then pain medicine afterwards.
Yeah, so for me, I have a really hard time going to the bathroom on pain medication. That is like the first thing that happens is my colon shuts down. And that is very
Okay.
common in a lot of people, from what I understand. That is why I go immediate. Like I told Kathy when she had her knee surgeries, everybody that can fog a mirror and is having surgery, I always tell them, like, if you're going to be on any kind of painkillers, anesthesia, that kind of stuff, talk to them about it. But the last thing you want is to get behind on stool because it will make you miserable.
Yeah,
And
we're
so,
flying back too, like 3 days later. So I don't want to be in compression at an airport. Like, that's a great reminder.
drink your water, a lot of water. And then I think the big thing is, and this is a mindset issue that I did not know when I was going through my surgeries, is I didn't normalize the how I was going to look freakish for a while. Like I called it, like I remember almost every surgery I would get to about 2 weeks out and you don't feel good yet and you don't look the way you're going to want to look and you just feel like a Frankenstein and like it's a real mind fuck if you're like, I didn't expect that. And so it really tripped me up. And now, like thinking about it, I remember I had my boobs redone. Oh my gosh, a few years ago, I took them down a notch. And I remember telling myself, now don't forget, there's the period where you feel like Frankenstein. And don't forget, like it takes months before you really start seeing what you want to see. And so I had to remind myself that otherwise, I'm just like, I'm suffering. Where's the good part? You know. So knowing that, like just anticipating that it's gonna like be a process before you get to where kind of like you start seeing like the benefits helps calm you down. I have coached a couple people. One of my dear friends, I actually coached her on her plastic surgeries. She had lost a lot of weight. She also needed to do a few things. And I coached her on it through it because she was afraid that she would be really hard on herself. And she tried to be, and we would just coach every time. They're like, remember, this is that part. Remember, this is that part. And just reminding herself, this is the part where I'm swelling really bad. This is the part where like these things happen. Because when you have any kind of plastic surgery, liposuction and stuff, your body has to swell so much to do the repair work needed. And we
that's the piece I'm trying to like stay ahead of. So that's helpful. And even just maybe write some things that I can read if I get into those moments. And I'm also not calling it what people call it. They call it swell hell. I'm not going to call it that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as long, or if you want to call it swell hell, because you're like, I know this is the hellish part. Like there's a difference between like people who complain about it, like they're complaining that they're swelling, or people who are just acknowledging that they are. And like be in acknowledgement that these are very normal bodily responses to surgery is helpful. And then I will tell you the last thing is, if this is something that will screw with you, do not weigh.
Okay.
In fact, Melissa, if you've got to do this like several rounds, I probably wouldn't weigh until like how many months is this going to be going on?
6, because they do body parts. So they'll do my thighs, the front of my thighs, then my calves. The third one's like my back of my calves and my butt, and then my arms, and then the trunk. So it's definitely, I like the Frankenstein because it's definitely like piece by piece by piece.
Yes. So you will feel a little Frankensteinish. Like some areas will start, like whatever comes first is probably going to, like at the end when another place is acting like a jackass, that place is going to start finally, you know, looking kind of more like what you want. So just reminding yourself, this is normal. This is normal. Don't get on the scale. Like it just won't be helpful. Like I would find new ways to measure. Like, are you still actively trying to lose weight too? Or are we just like, what are we doing through this period?
I'm still doing plans and everything. They don't want you to try. I go in 2 weeks. So they don't want me to try in the next 2 weeks. So I'm not changing anything, but I did go to I did a core in the water class yesterday at the gym. And then I'm going to do that again Saturday. I'm trying to like shifting to building whatever strength I can that after surgery. And then I am going to reach out once I know what the first surgery, what his recommendations are for, you know, between surgeries, I plan to like build strength.
Yeah.
So I could use that as, cause my arm, right. We're doing my legs for a while. So I know I can definitely build some arm strength while, even if I just go to the gym to work on my arms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's great. There's also a lot of studies that show like, you know, if you were to break one arm, if you lift the other arm, the muscle in the broken arm actually gets some benefit from that. It's so like, there's nothing like if your body is actively getting challenged in your upper body, even while it can't do the lower body, just the act of the stimulation and the, your body trying to repair that muscle, it tries to do all of it. So you get some benefit. So don't like throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
I would like measure things like how much protein you're getting and water and your sleep habits. Like the reason I was asking is because for me, it was really hard when I started having my surgeries to see the scale go up. And I had to really tell myself like, all right, we're not going to weigh through this period, but I would freak out like, but if you're not weighing, because for so long I had used weighing as a way to stay accountable and to be like, this tells me, like I was using the scale as the trigger to then examine my habits.
Right.
And one of the valuable things that I learned from my surgeries that I don't teach y'all anymore, or that I changed, is we're going to use the scale as one part, but we're really going to measure our actions and habits. And if we're measuring those things, we don't have to worry about the scale because the scale is just a reflection of our behaviors. Like that's really all the scale is. It's a reflection of behaviors and then like some hormones and stuff. But at the end of the day, if all you're doing is paying attention to the scale, you could be missing the opportunity to pay attention to what really matters that actually influences the scale. But when you're swelling and stuff like that, you're not getting reliable data. And if it's only going to like trigger you to think, I must be getting fat, I must be getting fat, then tracking healthy behaviors allows you to calm yourself down. It's like, no, there's no way I'm gaining weight by doing these things. Like this is the lifestyle I want to be living. And I'm tracking that lifestyle, which means the scale will eventually be positively influenced by that. So if for you at the end of this, we need to weigh the same outside of just whatever, you know, they've sucked off,
right,
then, you know, it gives you some peace of mind. Basically.
Yeah, I was really like nervous about that. And I didn't even think of now. I was like, how am I often am I going to weigh? How whatever. So yeah, just even yeah, it's so funny. My brain didn't even go to like, just don't weigh for a few months. It's okay.
I don't know if it would be beneficial because you're literally like doing something that causes, even if like you were allowed to lose a little weight as you go, you're doing something that is probably over time just going to keep negating it. Or like you might do one section and then eventually the swelling goes down. And right before you do the next section, you could weigh and be down a couple pounds or something. But then you do it again. It's like, oh, it goes back up. Like, just don't let that be. It's such an inaccurate reading.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not going to tell you everything. If you really want to know how much weight you've lost because of liposuction, you should just ask them, how much weight did I lose from liposuction?
Yeah, they tell you what they remove. I know someone that's had 4 of the surgeries and they've taken out 24 liters.
Yeah. So like, just like, if you really are just morbidly curious about it, go with what they took out. Don't go by, well, the scale is saying this week, I didn't lose anything. In fact, it looks like I'm up. It's like, yeah, you probably should be, because whatever they removed, your body is saying trauma.
Yeah.
Every surgery is a traumatic event for the body. Like if you think about it, our bodies are not meant to be sucked on, cut open, anything like that. And like, if you get a gunshot wound, you're going to swell up. Like, it's not like you're laying in the hospital bed eating your fucking face off. But if you got a gunshot wound, had a major surgery to remove it, then got on the scale and you were up, would you be apt to say like, well, here I am just gaining weight like crazy? But some of us, we do that to ourselves.
Yeah.
So, and it takes a lot longer for swelling to go down surgically than we ever give it credit for, because they're cutting through layers of skin. And sometimes depending on what you're doing, they're getting close to muscle. And if you're having like a knee surgery, they actually jank your muscles and, you know, replace something. It's like your body won't just like, let's say you had a knee surgery. It's not like your body says, well, let me just swell in that one knee. Your body's like, I got to swell up that knee and I'm going to like go ham, and it will swell all of you because it's really trying to like slow everything down to fix one area. Okay.
Yeah. That's
Anything
helpful.
Else?
No.
Thank you. Excited?
I am so excited. Like my surgeon did a study with this lipedema reduction study, surgeries, and that he compares it to like a knee replacement and the fact that impacts mobility and stuff. So I just cannot wait. And I just turned 50 yesterday. So I'm like, I'm ready for like to be hiking and things in a year. I can't wait.
So when you were at camp earlier this year, was it earlier this year where you were at the camp and you were like not even knowing if this was going to happen?
Yeah. So what happened is that the insurance kept fighting me. And then basically it came down to the other surgeon's documentation wasn't great. So I switched surgeons, and within 4 days of seeing that surgeon, all my stuff was approved.
Good. I'm really glad that you advocated for yourself and that we are finally arriving.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Good luck. Keep us
Thanks.
Posted on Facebook too on how it goes. Okay.
Okay. Sure will.
All right. Thank you. Okay. All right, Michelle. Oh my gosh, y'all should hear my cats. Well, here's one of them. What are you doing, devil girl? They are just like, wow, and just run in the halls. She came in here like her ass is on fire. She loves her mama. All right, Michelle, what are we coaching on?
I would like coaching on leveling up my foods. So I've lost all my weight eating good foods. I
Okay.
eat only the foods I like, and that's not a problem. It's totally good. I've maintained my weight for a year, still eating all the same foods. But I'm very, very, very active. And so I worry that I don't have the relationship with food that I need to, that if my activity lowers, I couldn't maintain.
How do you know that?
I guess I don't know that for a fact, but if I look at old school calorie counting and what I'm eating, if I had like more of a sedentary lifestyle, I think I would gain weight.
But how do you know that? Like, how do you know that if you were to have a more sedentary lifestyle, that you would eat exactly the same, or have the same, like your body would have the same energy demands? Like, it wouldn't just adjust.
Because I don't feel like I listen to my body for energy demands. I know that I always eat when I'm hungry, and
So that's listening for energy demands. Just
guess
stating the obvious, that if you're listening for hunger, that means your body will only send
yeah.
hunger when it's got energy demands.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Okay.
I guess the days that I don't work out, I don't change how I eat. I eat the same,
But
like,
you're eating the
quantity
same
of food.
foods. Okay. But you, th this is, but just because you take days off and you eat the same, I do the same thing. On
Okay.
my days off, the food looks exactly the same. The amounts almost always look exactly the same. It's very rare that they look any different. And that is because my body is meeting energy demands of 5 days ago on this day.
That makes sense. I guess it's just a fear in me then, really, is what it boils down to, that if I couldn't exercise, I will gain
Well,
weight.
what is the likelihood of you not exercising? Like, what is, like, I always love how we do this. It's like, I'm going to sit here and panic over something that's not even happened.
Oh, I've thought
So
about
let's.
this, right? Because I'm like, well, what if I got injured and I couldn't exercise for,
Okay, what if you
I'm
did get
not.
injured? Let's just pretend.
Okay.
Let's pretend that you got what, or first of all, tell me your activity level. When you say I work out a lot, what does that mean?
So I box for 45 minutes, 5 days a week. I walk for 3 miles a day, about 6 days a week, and then I do yoga about a pretty intense yoga about 4.5, 5 hours a week.
What does intense yoga mean?
So we do like a lot of cardio in it, so jumping jacks, different things,
Oh,
and then the yoga. So it's my heart rate gets up pretty high.
okay. All right. So I would throw the 3 miles out 6 days a week as part of intense exercise. To me, that's called like, oh, most humans need to walk even more than that a day.
True.
Like 3 miles only gets you what, 6,000 steps a day? They say the average human needs to be around the 10,000 mark just to be. Now, I'm not saying this to shame anyone who's not getting there,
No.
because Corinne, let's just look at her step count for the day. Everybody, be prepared to laugh your ass off. Yeah, 2,260, and it's 1,249. If Corinne breaks 5,000 a day, it'll be a banner day. So let's say you break your leg. That would take care of it. Breaking a leg would definitely put you out of walking. It would put you out of boxing, and it would put you out of yoga. Other than freaking out first, what would you do? Knowing you don't want to gain weight.
I mean, if you, my answer that came to my head right when you said that is, I would find some form of exercise, a different form.
Okay, so number one, I'd find some different form of exercise. So I wouldn't, if I could, I would just lift upper body weights. I would do something. Okay, so your brain is already like solving the problem. Like, I would never just let my, I would, like, here wasn't your answer. Well, I'd lay on the couch and eat Ben and Jerry's 24/7. Okay. So we
That
know
wouldn't be my
that that would,
answer.
Okay. So if you knew you broke your leg and you couldn't exercise and you really didn't want to gain weight, and I'm not saying you wouldn't be afraid that you would, but you really didn't want to, what would you do then? And I'm going to be able to hear you, but I need to close my door because there's people talking in my kitchen.
I mean, I think I would start evaluating my food and trying to level up some places where I could.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Where would be like one of the opportunities you could level up your food?
Breakfast. I
Okay.
think this is I get stuck on my breakfast because I eat the same breakfast every single day and I judge it a lot by its nutritional value.
What is it?
I eat a bagel and cream cheese and a caramel macchiato.
A bagel with cream cheese. And a caramel macchiato. I don't even know what that is.
It's
That's
like a
fancy
fuzzy
coffee, isn't
coffee.
it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Why is that bad?
It's bad when I count calories and see how many calories that breakfast is.
Right. But you're not looking at it through the lens of nutrition. Counting calories is not nutritional, they don't have anything to do with each other.
Right.
Like when I hear, someone who boxes 45 minutes 5 times a week, walks 3 miles a day, and does intense yoga for 4.5 to 5 hours, you probably need a lot of carbs first thing in the morning if you intend to keep this up.
True.
Because you're actually getting some decent nutrition in that. If you wanted to level it up, you could put protein instead of cream cheese on your bagel.
Yeah, I've thought of that, and I did get a smaller caramel macchiato. I know that's not what we're talking about,
So
though,
you've
for now.
already leveled up.
But I did. Last year, a year ago, I started a smaller size.
Okay. So this is what I want to show you is like you have this idea that because this is like how many calories is even in all this? 1,000?
About 900 and some, yeah.
Okay.
If it's right, if I guess right, or
So what kind of bagel are you getting? Store-bought or are you swinging by a place to get a bagel?
it's a store-bought in the bakery.
Okay.
A
Do you know?
bakery bagel, but store, it doesn't have nutrition facts on it, no.
But you could go to the store and easily look for a bagel about the same size and know how many calories is in it.
350-ish. That's what I've done, 350.
Okay. And then how much is your macchiato? That you can get the calories off of the website.
Yeah, it's about 350.
Okay, that's only 700. And then you got your cream cheese. Are you putting about
Cream
200
cheese.
calories of cream cheese on there? Okay, that's fine.
Yeah,
So
probably. Maybe a little less, but probably.
okay. So, and how many calories a day do you think you're eating to maintain?
About 18, I well. About 2000, 1800 to 2000.
Okay, so let me, so 2000 is about where you should be to function.
Okay.
All right. Especially when you're this active. And if you were to, because at this activity level, I would say you probably could even eat up to 2,500 calories a day and be totally fine.
That seems scary, but.
It only seems scary because you think of it as overeating, and I think of it as like I could see you getting stronger quicker. Like I just think about things differently, but also I don't
Yeah.
think about things in calories either. But I'm
I
just, the
don't.
reason why I'm telling you all this is because if all this activity level dropped, I promise you, you could probably still eat 1800 calories a day and not gain any weight. Your body has probably just adapted to what you're doing. But it doesn't mean that it couldn't function. Like it wouldn't have to now eat 1,000 calories a day in order to not gain weight. Now, the only reason I'm addressing this is because I want you to kind of see, I have a very different outlook on this than you do. Mine's calm. Mine is more
No.
factually based. Yours is based in, I think this would happen and that would be bad. So now I'm creating other fictitious things to prove this. And the other way that I'm looking at it is like, okay, so you're eating half your calories a day in breakfast, which leaves you like 500 calories. Like if we were just talking calories, that leaves you 500 more calories for lunch and dinner. And that's a nice meal. You just like your big meal being in the morning. My breakfast is not 900 calories, but my breakfast is usually 600 to 700. It's my biggest meal of the day. I front load purposely because my daytime is so fucking busy that very often I have to skip meals in the middle of the day. And so if I eat a way bigger breakfast that's more dense, then on the days when I have to skip lunch, guess what happens?
You're good to go.
Yeah, I'm fueled and I'm not in panic mode when I get to dinner. I'm not ravenous when I get to dinner.
Yeah. And I generally don't eat lunch either because I'm not hungry.
You're not, I know, because you've got a nice hearty breakfast going.
I know. I'm just judging myself every which way.
That's all you got. Like, you just need to, you don't need ideas on how to level up. Like, this is what I love that you presented. I need ideas to level up now because I think I'm going to break my leg and not be able to exercise. And then I'm going to be in a hella mess. Instead of like, how about you just enjoy what you're doing? It's obviously working. Unless you came in here and told me, I went to the doctor and they said XYZ is being caused by bagels and macchiatos. That's a whole different conversation, but you're not even having a problem. You're just creating a problem because I think you're afraid that if something happened, you'd gain weight. Like what's driving this irrational fear?
I don't know. It just feels like, I don't know, because it is, I know it's fear. I feel that it's fear, but like I said, I've kept my weight off for over a year.
Yeah.
So I don't know where the fear's coming from. I don't know.
So then if it's not fear, then why are you judging yourself for something that's working? And that is presenting no problems right now. Like I haven't heard, like, it's not like you said, here's the problem. The only problem that you presented with is in case something bad happens, this is bad.
I guess just feeling that like whatever, it's just not enough, which is silly after we're having this conversation, but that's kind of what it is. Like, you know, maybe I cheated my way to where I'm at so it could just all fall apart. It's silly saying it out loud, especially after we're talking, but that's kind of where it is. Like it all has to fall apart.
It all has to fall apart. Do you think your weight loss is going to fall apart?
No, not rationally. No.
Okay.
I have great habits.
That is the good part. It's like when you rationally know something's just fundamentally not true, but emotionally your brain is like, I'm just not sure. And, you know, I think what you're eating is bad. And, you know, like, I just don't want to lose all this. And, you know, it's like creating all these scenarios. That's when we just have to say, like, there's a part of me that rationally knows this isn't true. There's a part of me that rationally knows this is fine. There's also a part of you that's like, if for some reason I couldn't exercise, I would bet you would figure out the changes you needed to make. If for some reason, it's like, I can't be this active for like 8 weeks, I would bet you anything your brain would, like, you might freak out like, oh, I don't want to gain weight. It's like, oh, good. I'm glad that my brain's freaking out that I might gain weight, because what that's signaling is I need to think about this next 8 weeks because the goal is to not gain weight. So now I just need to problem solve for that, not just believe that I'm going to gain weight or that everything I'm doing is bad. And then you can also just tell your brain rationally, it's like, I didn't cheat the system. This chick actually said, we're going to eat foods we love and lose weight. I met the brand promise.
That is true. I will not eat any food I do not like. Like, and I just learned how to eat in a way that works.
That's the power statement you need to be telling yourself. When your brain's wanting to figure out, you need to say, no, what happened is I have figured out a way to eat that works. And one of the ways that works for me is I really like a bagel with cream cheese and a caramel macchiato is my breakfast. I have figured out a way to make that work by I do boxing. I honor my hunger. This is such a great breakfast and it's so satisfying and it's so enjoying. And it's got, you know, so many calories in it that there are just times I don't even need lunch. Like, yay me for figuring this out rather than like, somehow you're doing this wrong. And it's probably just hangover from old diets where, you know, we were taught for, oh my God. So many of my diets were like, no meal should be over 300 calories.
Yes, that's in there. That's
300 calories isn't even like, I mean, I could fart 300 calories. Like that is not a meal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not a, it's a snack. But if you know, like if you're sitting there thinking I'm going to eat three times a day, 300 calories is fucking 900 calories a day. That is not even enough for a small child. My friend just had a baby. She's probably taking down more than 900 calories a day in milk. And she's an infant.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. You just keep doing what you're doing and just allow, like, tell your brain, settle the fuck down. We're doing fine. I have figured out how to do this and I am listening to my body and I am listening to my energy demands. Some days my body doesn't even demand lunch because I've ate such a great, enjoyable breakfast. And one, I just want to say this for one last thing for all of you. One of the things I love that you're doing the most, Michelle, is you have figured out how to include pleasure in such a way that you're not overly needing pleasure in other areas and masking it with food. Because that's also an important, this is the thing they don't teach you in calories, is that enjoying your food is a very important part of weight loss.
Mm-hmm. It's the only time it worked.
And it is the one thing that most diets do not talk enough about. We've got to enjoy our process. We've got to enjoy our food. Part of the human experience, there would not be so many historical events throughout the course of man that revolved around food if food wasn't supposed to be an important part of our life.
Very true.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Susan, hey, if any of you want to get coached, raise your hand. Susan's the only one, other person with her hand raised. We have 30 minutes left. And then Corinne, she is going to the gym. I've already told Mr. Crabtree I was going to the gym this afternoon. All right, Susan.
And I told Mr. Can you see me?
I would be accountable. Oh. Sorry, I was just telling everybody that I only told Chris I was going to the gym so I would be accountable to somebody. I didn't want him to see me on the couch working and be like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, not at the gym, obviously. So I'm going to the gym. All right, Susan, what do you need help with?
Okay, I am looking, my big goal is to start, I've gotten very good at waiting to, I still use the -5 to 5 scale, like waiting to -2 to eat. It was hard for me to do that. It was a lot harder or a lot easier for me to not eat past satisfied or full. That part is easier for me than the waiting for.
Oh my God, you're one of the blessed ones.
Oh, really?
The stopping at enough tends to be the hardest only because it is waiting for hunger tends to be a little bit easier because something that's not in motion is a lot easier to control than something that's in motion. It's just like, right. I guess it would be called physics or whatever. But, you know, once you right. start the motion of eating, sometimes it can be harder just on that period. So but it's hard. If it's hard for you on the other side, then it's hard, you know? So tell me about tell me what you need help with.
Okay. So I want to get to the point where I wait till, you know, I'm a little like sometimes -3, not all the time, but I want to get is. Well, I'm kind of maintaining. I've lost 40 pounds.
Okay.
And I pretty much maintained in 2024. And there are other areas, but this is a few things have happened that I thought this might be a good thing for me to start doing. For instance, at work, I'm very good at packing healthy food I love and bringing it, but I kind of eat, every 2 hours at work, eat something. And I don't know, at work, I mean, at home, I've started playing on the weekends with, if I get a little hungry in the afternoon, say 2 hours before dinner, thinking, I'll just wait to dinner instead of eating a small snack now. And so I kind of want to start doing that at work, but I find it very hard at work, I think, because it's more distracting at work because
Okay, so you
I'm
don't
not always
really need
engaged.
to be hungrier. You need to stop eating when you're wanting to distract yourself.
Right. I do. I
That's
mean,
an overeat. That's
oh, really?
not waiting for hung being like, do you see the
Yeah,
difference?
but I feel like I'm waiting for. I do the thing where I wait, if I want to eat, if I want to eat and I'm not hungry, I wait 30 minutes and then see. So I kind of, and maybe you're right that I have my, I'm not calibrated correctly, but I feel like my stomach is starting to rumble a little and maybe part of it too is maybe on the other side, my eating dissatisfied isn't quite as much. 'Cause I know when I'm out of town and we're eating at restaurants, I'll probably be a little more full and then I last to the next meal. You know what I mean? I'm not snacking all the time. So I don't know. Maybe you're right that it's not that. I don't know if it would help with weight loss or not, but I've been thinking about trying at work to, go a little further into hunger. But
I
I have a
so
lot of.
let's figure this out because here's what I don't want to set you up for is pushing hunger when hunger's not really the problem you need to work on. So like if it's really work and you're grazing a lot, it sounds like you're eating like every 2 hours. Okay. Are you legit hungry when you eat every 2 hours?
I feel like I am. Like I said, I wait 30 minutes and I'm trying to tune into that. I feel like I'm, like I said, at a minus two.
Okay. So tell me about a typical work day. Like tell me, and I don't mean like the job, but
Yeah.
when do you
I
eat
sit at my
breakfast?
desk. I sit at my desk
Okay. And
all day,
then
eight
you
to
eat
four.
breakfast at home?
I drink coffee at home and then I try to eat a little protein because I just feel better if I eat protein. And then I eat oatmeal at work at like 9:30 to 10 because I'm hungry by then.
Okay. And then what happens next? So we
And
have
then at 12
protein.
I'll eat something that I like, something I brought for lunch, which is usually some leftover dinner, some protein type thing. And then I have a couple snacky type items like say a reduced fat cheese stick or a turkey pepperoni stick or little snacks that and I'll eat those in the afternoon if I'm hungry. I mean
Okay.
I actually I always eat those in the afternoon. I mean I always eat something like that in the afternoon, not necessarily the cheese stick, but something.
Okay. And then what's dinner?
We eat dinner early at like 5 or 5:30 and we cook a good dinner. We have vegetables and meat.
Okay. All right. And you feel like you're stopping at enough at all of these things, and you feel like you're actually at hungry when you're eating at all these things.
Yes.
Okay. And then is there any kind of evening snacks too, or no?
I eat if I'm hungry and I'm not always hungry based on what we eat at dinner, I sometimes eat or I often eat PB2 with in Greek yogurt and plain Greek yogurt at 7:30 or 8. And I've reduced the this I weigh that and I've reduced the serving size of that. But like I said, I feel like I'm hungry when I eat that. And it is such that it does not, I don't like to eat right before bed. And that does
Yeah.
not bother me at bedtime. I feel
And
like it's
then how's water and sleep?
water is great. Sleep, I've always been one that goes to sleep early, and some nights I wake up in the middle of the night and can't get back to sleep. So I'm always in bed for 8 hours, but I wake up super early at 4:30 or 5:30 or something.
Okay. And then are there any Like, is there any kind of overeating happening ever? Like, do you ever have to do
worksheets? Yes. Not usually not on work days. Sometimes on work days, but I should say never at work, really. I never feel like, oh, I ate to a, you know.
No, but what is like, describe to me a workday overeat and then describe to me a non-workday overeat.
Okay. I almost never eat at work, but yeah, I'll say sometimes we go places at work. We go to clients, I'll call them. Yeah. And then, you know, every once in a while, I'll talk myself into, I should go get some frozen yogurt on my way back to the office because I'm out of the office right now and it's fun. And I, you know, I'm not particularly hungry for it or, and I don't ever eat to like discomfort anymore.
It doesn't matter. Like, I will just tell all of you, this is what I notice a lot of you do. We try to justify our overeats. It's like, well, I'm not in ginger, or I'm not doing this. Like, I'm just here, like dabbling.
Oh, that's a huge thing with me because I am so much better than I used to be that I feel like, well, I don't do that. Or I'll think, oh, well, it's on my plan, you know?
Yes. But the problem is just because it's on your plan doesn't mean your body needs it and won't convert it to fat when it doesn't need it.
Right.
All right. So we got Froyos. How often do you think you have work days overeat?
Not very. I would say once a month.
In 1 month.
Once a month.
Just one time a month?
Yeah, I don't do that very often. The more common thing.
Even if it's not Froyo, just any kind of like.
Yeah.
Rabbit-y. I usually don't.
I bring my own food to work and it's not. I don't tend to overeat.
Non-work day overeats. What are those typically like?
Okay. Well, this could be on a work day in the evening. My 21-year-old daughter lives with us and she'll decide to bake brownies at night.
Okay.
And then I'm eating the brownies. I've gotten very good at not eating 5 brownies. Right. But I'll still eat brownies if I'm not hungry or they're
like
definitely not
on my plan.
How
many brownies would you say?
2 to 3.
2 to 3. Okay. So that's like 2 to 3 brownies is probably bigger than most of your meals.
Right.
Okay. And then how often is that happening? Like, it doesn't have to be just brownie gate, but any type of what you're considering non during the workday overeats. How many would you say you're having in a month?
Oh,
if you had to give me a discovery.
Quite a few. 10.
Okay. This is what I'm going to tell you. Your problem is not waiting for hunger. This is what everybody does. Okay. I love you, Susan, because you look just like everyone. It's like, I've lost 40 pounds and the scale's not moving. So the first thing I should do is be hungrier for all the meals that I don't have a problem at. What I shouldn't do is figure out how to quit eating brownies, 2 to 3 of them, 10 times a month.
Right. It's not always brownies, but yeah, I take your point.
We'll just use brownies as the only because it's food. But if you're having 10 home overeats, even though they're not, and this is, I just have compassion for all of you because this, I did the same thing. It's like, when you come from overeating so much and blowing it out of the water eats, or just like, I was never a binge eater, but I could pack some food.
Yep.
I mean, I could go toe to toe with a fucking linebacker. You would think I was prepping for the NFL. but when you eat so much better and you've made so much progress, sometimes our brain is like, confused. Mm-hmm. It's like, but this surely this can't be that bad. And it's like, it's not that behavior is bad, but 10 times a month, let's just say it was the equivalent of 2 to 3 brownies, is 6,000 extra calories a month.
Right.
Which equals about 2 pounds, which is if you're eating very well, like you are, and then offsetting it with this, it would just keep you stable.
Right. Which is what's happening.
Yeah. And our brain is like, well, I don't want to give up this overeat.
Right. Exactly.
So now we got to figure out, why are we attached to keeping this Like, why are we wanting to be extra hungry for all of our meals we already have dialed in so that we don't have to give this up?
I think two reasons. One, I love sweets, and two, I was losing weight doing this, which was super exciting to me. You know what I mean? I was like, wow, I had ice cream twice this week and I still lost weight.
Yes.
And so maybe it's the feeling now of, oh no, I need to give that up too.
So I'm going to tell you, you do not have to give up sweets to lose weight. But what you might want to do is say like, okay, on the days that I want to have brownies with my daughter, I'm going to have one and I'm going to put it in a plan. Because I don't have to give up sweets because I love sweets. But when I look at your typical day, there's like no, hardly any sweets on there. Like you could literally sub out your PB2 and Greek yogurt for one brownie. And that's like an equal swap.
Right.
Does it have protein? No. But if you just look at it in totality, they're the same. And if you only did that every now and then when your daughter made brownies, you'd be fine. And you'd probably see the scale going down. But if 10 times a month you allow yourself to be like, I am so addicted to sweets and I don't want to give them up. And this is some bullshit. I've worked so hard. I've already made all these changes. So I'm going to just have three brownies. And it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, it. I started doing discovery worksheets every time I either had an overeat or ate off plan, and I think in July I did like 14. So I guess there were 14 in July, you know. And
I just want you to see, like, I don't need to be hungrier,
right,
in order to lose weight, but I do need to get to the root of these overeats I keep having, because that's where I'm going to lose weight, is getting to the root of those.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. And I'm stuck in the, I am so much better than I used to be.
Yeah. And this is what I always encourage, because I don't want you throwing out that. I would say, oh my gosh, I've made so many changes than what I used to do. I will bet you the next change won't feel dramatic. Like, I am way better than I used to be. And I'm so proud of me for doing all that work. Because I will bet you there's a version of you. This was always what was helpful to me. The version of you who started on day one, probably if we were to show her right now your typical day, she'd be like, no fucking way.
Right. Definitely. Like,
what are you talking about? You don't have a problem with stopping at enough. You're not just throwing down 10 brownies now or five brownies, whatever. Yeah. She'd be like, there's no way I could do all that.
Right.
And you've proved her wrong. And now we got to prove the version of you who's trying to look into the future going like, but I got to give up sweets. And you got to prove her wrong. Be like, no, you don't, honey. But we can't be eating them 10 times a month, three at a time. Mm-hmm. Unplanned on top of everything else we ate. What we need to do is figure out, how are we going to keep enjoying sweets in the next phase of weight loss?
Mm-hmm.
Because right now I'm not really enjoying the sweets. I'm just staying stalled. Because, like, I will tell you, when you're eating sweets and they're stalling your weight loss out because you're eating them this way, you don't really enjoy the brownies, because you're stuck with all of the consequences of the brownies. It's like, in the moment, it tastes great. And it's a nice moment with my daughter, but the 7 days after aren't as fun. Because I'm having to hope and pray that I lose weight and didn't blow it. That's not the fun part. So always remember, every action has a consequence. And we want to set up you eating brownies to where the consequences are amazing. Where the consequences aren't like a, fuck you, you didn't do it right.
Right. Yeah. I think I'm still in that thing where I'm hoping I get away with it. You know what I mean? Because I'm kind of hoping I'll lose weight anyway based on.
But this is the thing. You weren't getting away with it back then. And I think this could be a really important thing for you to see. You were not, like, when you were overeating and stuff, and like you were still able to eat some ice cream and stuff, you weren't getting away with anything. You were actively making changes.
Mm-hmm.
And at that stage, all you needed was certain tweaks. Now you're at the stage where you got to have other tweaks. Mm-hmm. You are never getting away with anything.
Right.
And that is the way weight loss is. It's like, as we go through, we just hit different milestones where it's time to reflect and be like, oh, okay, now here's this other small tweak I need to make. But we tend to want to go to, like, it has to be huge changes, or it has to be all or nothing. Or, and like in your case, it's like, well, instead of working on what the obvious thing is that I could dial back a little, I'm going to go over here that's not even a problem and try to make myself, because the main reason I'm drilling this home with you is this is for all of you. I do not want y'all teaching your body that starving is the way to lose weight. Because the second you start pushing hunger too far, your body, then you will like really trigger this 2 to 3 brownies will now become 5.
Right. That's what I have been worried about.
Yeah. So what we want to do is we want to say, like, I actually want to get brownies to 1 or 2 for a while. And the best way to do that is to plan them, mm-hmm. not to go into that moment starving, because I've been under fueling to save up for that.
Right.
And that is an unintended, really hard consequence, because once you start teaching yourself, if I cheat here, then I can cheat here. We don't want to be cheating ever. It's like, I'm doing so well over here. I want to keep fueling myself. It's like, you know what? Some days I want brownies. So on those days, like, just tell your daughter, give mama a heads up. If you're going to make brownies, I want to know by lunchtime, because I'm going to put a brownie on my plan. I can take mm-hmm. a look at my plan and decide, do I want it today or do I want it tomorrow?
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You try that and let's just see if that shakes it up. If we can reduce these overeats and get them, I think that that will be where you're going to see your next weight loss. And if it doesn't, then you come back and we will look at things again. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know what y'all are talking about. I can't read this, but we got a Me Too movement. Everybody's like, Me Too, Me Too. Oh my God, this is me. So somebody is, I'll have to read it. I'll pull up Joy. And let me read it real quick. Must be what Contessa wrote. I had a hard time stopping at enough, so I told myself to overeat less every meal until I got closer and closer to stopping at enough. But there is the danger of excusing overeats by saying, in the past, I would have eaten the whole thing. Yeah, so this is what I want y'all to see. When you say, in the past, I would have, usually that is you trying to justify what's happening now. This is what I always tell myself. It's like, yeah, in the past, I used to do that. And today, here's how I also want to be. I just make sure that I'm not like saying that in order to feel better about something that I'm doing, because you don't need to beat yourself up over these things, but you definitely don't want to be saying something to make yourself feel better, because the only option you give yourself for an overeat is to beat yourself up. So a lot of times what we do is we will say, and I'm so much better than I used to be, in an effort to not beat ourselves up, when I would rather you say, I am so much better than I used to be, and there's no reason to beat myself up over this. I just don't want to do it like this anymore. I'm just learning that there's still some room for improvement. Like, there's some tweaks I can still make, and that's great. So what are the smallest of tweaks can I be making? All right, Joy, what you got?
Hi.
Hey.
Hopefully if you can't hear my dog, I have a
we can barely
earbud
hear
in.
It's not
that good. Okay. As I'm listening, because I listened to the call just before this, and I raised my hand and then I lowered my hand, and everything that has been said is me. Mm-hmm. I tend to go to Maverick and get my Diet Dr. Pepper, and then I get a king size candy bar. And I used to get 2 of them thinking, okay, I'm gonna have 1. And
okay.
I end up eating.
So you
both
had
of
a
them.
Level up there. By going to find. Okay, great.
Yes. And like today I went and got it and I didn't get any candy bars. So I can get there.
Okay.
So yeah. I guess I don't I keep getting the diet detox camp that's after camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on the
camp.
Board. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, And I don't know that I can make it to Nashville, but I keep thinking, okay, I just need to pay for it because I need it. So I'm just kind of on the fence. I filled out the whole thing today, and it's like, okay, non-refundable. So I haven't pushed
It's
the commitment yet.
non-refundable if you like you still get the replays no matter what.
Right,
So
right, right.
you can still do it. You just be doing it at home. And we're filming the
Right.
whole thing. It's
Right.
just this one was not going to be one that virtually like where I would be able to do things. But if you were doing it yourself or you could take your time and stuff, it would work better. And
Okay.
it's a weird camp because we can film some stuff, but it was like legally, we have to give the camera crew a lunch. Like I can't just like make everybody work. And this one, we're actually doing things during the lunch. So like
Okay.
let me just explain it this way. If you're doing it at home on your own, you will just be taking a lunch and you will be like, I don't want to give away what we're doing. So I'm not, but we're doing a couple special things during lunch. And even if you did it on your own, you could do it. But I can't do it Zoom style
All right.
because
Okay.
I have to, by like union
By
laws
law, yeah, right.
require that they shut down for a minute. So
Yeah, okay.
anyway,
Okay.
I just didn't want
Yeah.
to get too far into it. But I mean, if you were just wondering that, you would get the replays whether you came to Nashville or not. It's just non-refundable because I have to pay for everything ahead of time. And if people are canceling and I refund, then at some point, like I can't afford to put on camps anymore, you
Oh
know, if
yeah,
I,
it's absolutely
you know,
not.
doing that. So it's that's just a
Yeah.
business. And then I wish that I could do that different, but it's
No, I
not if I want to keep the lights on at no BS and
Yeah.
kind of like the lights being on.
Yes,
So
and I've been the very first virtual camp. I think it was 2020, April 2020. So I've been with you since then. And I quit Weight Watchers. I told them all goodbye, and I basically got thrown under the bus because I was mean. Because
oh
I
God.
somebody was like, you know, I told them I got tired of everybody saying, well, I ate a cookie, now I have to, you know, jump on another wagon, do all the other things. And it's like, no, you ate a cookie, be fine.
Yeah.
You know, so I understand all the diet trauma stuff. I've lost 55 pounds with you, so
Okay. So what makes you think you need the diet detox? I just want to make sure you need it. I don't want you buying anything that you don't need.
I don't know. I have actually bought all of I put my money into all the camps just because
Yeah.
I haven't actually watched the last two.
Okay. That's fine. I
I'm
mean, you
a
have them.
yeah, and it's just a matter of doing. But I don't know.
Would you promise me that if you bought the diet detox that you would do it?
Well, that's another one.
That's the
That's
thing. Like this is what I don't want you buying something that you don't feel like you would do. But if you, that's why I was trying to figure out why do you think you need it? Because if you really understand, this is the thing for all of you. I mean, I would love for y'all all to do that. I think the camps are always valuable. I think they are life changing. I think, well, I
absolutely.
think a lot of the lovely thoughts about our camps. But what I don't want is for you to buy it if you don't need it. You know, I'm always really clear about not every camp everyone needs. Like we had a camp one time called Relationships. Not everybody needed work on their relationship. If I had a sex camp, only, you know, I don't know, after the last call, I think all of us would be there, but not all of us need it. You know, like the last call is like everybody in the chat was just like, oh, this is my lane. I need this help. But I kind of want to hear from you. Like, why do you think you need it? And then we can talk about that. And if you have like a really good reason why, and you really understand why you need this camp, then you're more apt to watch it and do it. If you're just buying things because you like, and I mean, because you love me and other things have been good, and you're just like, I just hate to miss out and that kind of stuff. Like, well, that's your own buying power, but it's not exactly compelling to get you to do it, you know.
Right. So that's kind of where I am, because I listen to calls and I sit and go, why would you do that? You know, or I have my own Corinne in my voice going, wait, why would you go to that point? And I am no longer a closet eater. I used to have everything. I used to have treats in my closet. I don't have that anymore. Everything is out in the open. I have, yeah, I am doing the tirzepatide, but it's because I'm a diabetic, and it has helped me a lot. Things are really much better for my life. I feel better. I'm busy. I do a lot of things.
So what do you think would you need it for then? Is there still diet mentality working in there? Are you still having some?
Yeah, I don't. That was my biggest. I need to talk through with you because I don't know that I mean, I would love to come and meet Karen and you and all of that because that I have loved that if she's on the top of my Facebook because I try not to open it and look at it very long. If she's on the top, I will almost always comment because she's
Okay.
amazing.
Yeah,
So,
I totally agree. So
yeah.
let me say this then. If I was you, you could, I think, just write into my team. If you decide the week before that you want to come, we'll get you in. Okay. Anybody. This is not just for Joy, but I just want you to really think about it because I will say one of the things that is beneficial for a lot of people is the ability to connect with people, the ability to finally meet people that you've been with online, whether it's me and the coaches or it's Karen's or, you know, Lisi has come to a lot of the camps. Like there's so many of us that it's almost like coming in real life, experiencing what No BS really is about. People usually say when they come to camp, it feels life changing because it's like it made it all so deep and real in a good way. And especially even on the virtual side, a lot of people say, you know, like I hear people talking about virtual camp and I keep thinking like, how the hell could this even matter? And then they do a virtual experience and they're just like, holy shit, I felt like I was part of the community. Like it was so much different than just watching a Zoom call, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
You just decide. Because for you, part of it might be like just being in the room would make me feel so much different and it could unlock things. So that it's worth going just for that, but it might not be worth buying it if, and I don't know that I would get the experience I want if I was doing it just in replays. Whereas there's other people who have so much diet stuff going on, it's like replay or live, like this would just help me. So you just decide. And if you decide at the, you know, I think we have to know a week out, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But as long as we know a week out and you're like, I can get there, I can make it happen, we will let you come. How about
Awesome.
that?
I'll bring a sleeping bag.
There you go. I think there will be some hotels, I'm sure. I think our hotel will have space. I'm not 100% sure, but the nice thing about where we do this particular camp is there's a lot of hotels around there. So even if you
Okay.
can't get to the host hotel, there's several around. Where do you live?
Layton, Utah.
Okay, so you would definitely, so you could do Ubers. I mean, it's a very Uber friendly area. I think there's some hotels too that are within walking distance of this hotel, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I've been over there, but in my mind, I cannot like orient myself. Like, and I'm from this area. That's the other crazy part. It's like, I should know this, but I
Yeah,
don't.
get that.
So,
Yep.
yeah,
Okay.
we can
Awesome.
figure it out. This is
Okay.
not an impossible problem to solve. All
Okay. Awesome.
right.
Awesome.
Thank
Thank you so much. Thank you
you.
for all that you do. And yeah, I will never count a calorie or a point for the rest of my life.
That makes me happy. The more women I can free from all that shit, the
Yep.
happier Corinne gets every day.
Yep. Never again.
All right. Thank you,
All right.
Joy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
iPhone 9, also known as Lisa. Lizzie, let's tell MJ to make it known that if they want to, I'm pretty sure we're recording the diet details. I mean, like, don't let me I know we're recording it. I think we're just not doing the Zoom component because it's going to be a mess to try to do the Zoom component and to be giving them lunch and all. There was like a big reason why this one could not be done virtually. I cannot remember all of the things we decided on this ages ago. So Corinne is not always good at remembering everything that was ever talked about. All right, Lisa, what can I help you with? Oh, wait, you're muted. Don't say anything good.
Hi, Corinne.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Is that a choo-choo train behind you?
This is the Hogwarts Express Lego.
Oh my God, are you serious? You know, my brother like does all the Legos.
Oh, my bedroom looks like a Lego warehouse. I got into them last October, and my living room has been completely rearranged.
That's the way my sister-in-law feels. Like her, my brother and my niece do Legos together all the time. And she is just like, my house is now styled by Lego. Every
It
room is
is,
just full of Lego things.
yeah, it has been so good for my focus and just like coming home and relaxing. And
You.
yeah, I just, and in the last year and a half, I have just been like majorly happy.
Oh, that's so
And
nice.
it has been nice. And so, I called you about a actually it's 2 years ago I called you because I was freaking about food about going back to school. And this year was just like, I went on Amazon and I bought containers that have three compartments, and I've made chicken and cut it up, and I put in about a quarter cup of rice because rice is no longer an enemy. I just need to learn how to eat it so that it doesn't bother me.
Okay.
And I throw in some carrots for a vegetable. So that's been great. And I tried out that overnight oats, the one that's the mix.
Oh yeah, I have those.
And I'm loving them, and I'm throwing in a handful of blueberries and some slivered almonds into them so
Yep.
that I'm getting more fruit in and fiber in because I'm having problems with constipation.
Okay. Do you mix fiber into stuff? Have you tried that?
I know the oats overnight has like flaxseed in it, and
I don't know if it helps you, but for my I don't do the overnight oats every day, but I have this, I think I have the same brand you do.
yeah, Monday through
I think
Friday is when I'm doing
it's
it
the
for school.
banana bread one that I love the most. It looks so good. I take acacia fiber. It's called ACACIA. I just buy it off of Amazon, and you can get any brand, but it's acacia or acacia. I'm not sure how you say it, but I put just like a spoonful of that. I put it in my oatmeal. I put it in anything that it can. Like if I eat a microwave macaroni and cheese with, you know, my cottage cheese and stuff, I throw that in there because I add like usually 2 to 3 spoonfuls of that throughout the day, and it helps me a lot. It just
Okay.
boosts things, and it's also good for hormone. So like a lot of times, like extra like adrenaline and cortisol, like the ones that kind of spike you,
Right.
can get trapped in your colon, and it's a really good sweeper to make sure that you're getting out all the used hormones out of your body too.
I will put that on my list right after we're off this call.
There you go. All right. So what do you need coaching on?
I'm having a difficult time with like making stuff for like dinner right now. In June, I went on vacation. And while I was on vacation, either one of two things killed my sense of smell.
Okay.
And my one doctor thinks that it might have been the sinus spray I was using. That was prescribed. And another doctor thinks that I might have had a very mild form of COVID.
Okay.
And so while I was in Canada and then coming back down through and going through Yellowstone, I wasn't smelling anything, no sulfur, no nothing. And my brain wasn't making a connection until I got home and I was taking a shower with
some lovely stuff that I love. And I didn't smell it at all. But now my sense of smell is starting to come back.
Okay.
And everything stinks.
And everything stinks. Okay.
So while I'm cooking it, it stinks. So I'm like, I don't want to eat it. So if I'm cooking something, it's like I'm airing out the house while I'm cooking.
Does the
Salty
problem is the problem?
tastes really good, but like if it's more bland, I have to add salt to it.
Okay.
And so like right now it feels like I'm like maintaining rather than doing loss. And so I need to up something that I'm doing.
What do you think is keeping you in maintenance?
I've been working on taking leaving bites behind, but one thing that may be keeping me in maintenance would be like an overeat every week be something that might be doing that.
Okay.
Or would the constipation just be?
Well, constipation is not going to help, but
No.
there should be, even if you were constipated for, let's say, that was just a regularly occurring thing at some point, even if you were losing weight and then every now and then you were going to the bathroom, you should see like at least a slow trend. So we have one overeat a week. Anything else you can think of? Like, I guess what I'm asking is there at dinner because of the smell issue? Are you, for lack of a better way of saying it, are you rage eating, trying to be like, this is unfair?
Trying to get
I'm going to
just
eat
trying to get
this,
it
or I'm.
down, trying to get food down.
Okay.
Because like lunch and breakfast is cold.
Why not just do cold stuff for dinner for now?
Yeah. I could do pre-cook for dinner and then just eat stuff cold. Because like if I'm like doing like one of the things that I was trying to do is like, okay, some breads. Just like after I eat them, I like immediately feel bloated from them.
Yeah.
And so I could try doing the cold, eating things cold rather than eating them hot.
I mean,
And
just,
just.
but I, we just got to figure out why you're maintaining. Like it, because it's, I don't think it's because you're of the smell. Because this, because just follow me on this and you tell me where this isn't happening. If I was sickened by the way things smell, I'm
I wouldn't
probably
eat it.
less.
So I may be eating more at dinner because I'm just trying to get through it rather than because my brain is going, you need the protein, you need the this, you need the vegetable in order to be losing the weight. But I may be just like going, get it over with
That
and
could be part of the problem. You don't need protein and vegetables to lose weight.
okay.
Like, this is where your brain is. Like, I'm not saying protein and vegetables aren't good for you, but when we're just talking pure weight loss, this is where a lot of us get confused, is what you eat is not super important to the weight loss. It's the intention behind your eating is what's more important to the weight loss. And so, like right now, if your sense of smell is off track and or whatever, and then when you're eating, you're now overeating to just get through it, or like eating something and not enjoying it, then later on eating, like rage eating something else because you're so sick and tired of not enjoying stuff. Now we just have emotional eating happening. Like it's really not the sense of smell, because if you truly, like I was talking to somebody the other day in Facebook who had lost her sense of taste. And she's like, I've gained weight since I've lost my sense of taste. I was like, and so she blamed it on that. And I said, honestly, that makes no sense. Because if you can't taste something, then you should be really good. No, she said, so that means I don't know when I've had enough. And I was like, your sense of taste doesn't change your sense of knowing if you've had enough. Now, if you're eating more because you're mad and you keep thinking, if I eat more, maybe I'll get satisfied. That's that's the problem. Like, it's not like this, and it's kind of like a similar thing. I'm just trying to figure out, because it's really like, let me just say this. It sucks that everything smells bad.
Yes. Like,
that sucks. But yeah, that shouldn't cause a stall on the scale.
Yeah.
So we have
like going like,
oh, go ahead.
I'm like, right now it's like going, okay. It's like, okay, I'm almost to that point where I'm like in the 200s. And mm-hmm. then it'll be like, okay, I'm at 201, 202. Back down to 2-1, 300. Not 2, 300, 3-1, 3-2, back to 300.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like bouncing right there. So I guess I could just like journal more, or just.
Do you do discovery worksheets?
No, I don't.
Why don't we start doing those? Are you tracking your overeats?
I'm writing down like, so I'll write down like next to what I've written for my writing, when I'm writing down what I'm eating, I'm writing down, I write down plus if I mm-hmm. ate too much.
Okay. And then, so like, if you were to go, like, let's say you went and got your sheet right now, how many pluses would you have in a typical week?
2 or 3.
Okay. That's what I want you working on. Rather than trying to figure out all this other stuff, it's like, I really think a discovery worksheet would help you.
Okay.
Because I don't know if you've seen, we updated the discovery worksheet a few months ago. Have you seen the new one?
I have not.
You might like, a lot of people like the new one because it's a decision tree. And it's like, okay, do we think this was a mindless or a habit overeat? And then we kind of go through what we can change for that. And then we're like, all right, if it was an emotional one, then we have certain questions that we ask for that.
Okay.
And it just kind of helps you dissect what's really going on. Because let me ask you, why do you not do discovery worksheets?
I just don't do them. I just haven't done them. But I guess I just haven't explored them.
Okay. So you don't have any reason not to?
No.
Okay. Then this
I'm a single person and I play with Legos.
Which I think is fabulous. But here's what I would tell you. Sometimes people will tell me they don't do discovery worksheets because they make them feel bad. That we would want to clean up. It's like, a discovery worksheet is doing nothing but giving you information. And if it's making you feel bad, we've got to work on you beating yourself up over something that is like, does not ever, ever require beating yourself up over. Overeats are never an excuse to beat yourself up. Overeats are something that happened. They're very dissectable. They do feel emotionally charged, but I always like to tell myself, if I'm emotionally upset over an overeat, that is on me to love myself. That is not me to stop doing something that's helpful. Now, yeah, you're not having that problem. So you starting discovery worksheets should be really simple, because it's like, I don't know, I've never really looked at it. Let's just give that a whirl. Let's see what happens. I think it would be very helpful for you to kind of see, like, all right, these overeats that I'm having, because I really don't think this has anything to do with your sense of smell right now.
Okay.
I think the reason why you're maintaining has to be there is either accidental overeats, there may be some emotional ones, there may be some that you don't even, or they're not even getting on your radar. And unless you're actively tracking, you don't know where you're at and where to kind of like, oh, I can zero on this now. Oh, I can zero in on this now. Because there's three types of overeating that we do. One is called mindless. And this is where we are like cooking or doing something and we're just kind of popping food in our mouth, or we're just passing the kitchen and we kind of just grab a few nuts. It's a lot of eating that doesn't really get on our radar. Like, we're just not seeing it even though we're doing it. And we don't see it until we know to look for it. And then when you're doing discovery worksheets, you will notice like, oh, today, like I made a plan. And the only thing that got in the way of me being able to check, I followed my plan, was Well, I grabbed a piece of candy earlier today. And then like when I was cooking dinner, I popped this in my mouth. Like those are the easiest to clean up. Habit eating is just when we're, like I was talking to somebody earlier, I just happen to eat at these times. And then when we question it, it's like, oh no, I'm not exactly hungry during those times. So I've just been in the habit of eating and I haven't really looked at, is this a food habit I need anymore? Then emotional is where it's rage eating. It's like, you know, this sucks.
That been there.
Mail is been out. There. So I'm going to eat this or that person pissed me off. So now I'm going to eat. Or it can be things like, well, I don't know what to do with myself in the evenings. So like, you know, it may have been, I don't know if this is you, but before you found Legos, it may have been, I ate at night. Now that I do Legos, I don't eat as much because I found something that entertains me and that focuses me and that I actually enjoy. So I added pleasure into my life, which means I don't have to eat as much.
Yeah.
So we always want to be looking at like the three types of overeating that we're doing and seeing how many of those, you know, you just want to be on the hunt for them. Like, how many can I find? And then every time I find one, I want to dissect it so I can understand it. It's like building a Lego set.
Yeah.
You find all, like you've got all these pieces spread out on the table of your eating. Now it's time to build, like, it's like build your no BS logo out of all your overeats. That's what I should do. I should create a no BS Lego set.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, selling hotcakes.
It would. It would.
Yeah.
It would. Okay.
So I want you to do
I
that.
Like that it's very visual. I like that this sounds like it's a very visual thing.
It is.
And I'm a very visual person. So I will go and download that now.
Yes.
If
you need help finding it, if you go under the website, you go under resources, but I almost bet you the discovery worksheet's there. If it's not there, if you just type into the search discovery worksheet, it will populate where it's at real quick.
Yeah, I'll be able to find it. And I'll be seeing you in September twice.
All right. You're going to diet detox too?
Yes.
Awesome.
I figured I'm in Nashville. I'm taking time off of teaching. And I'm already there. What the hell?
Exactly. What the hell? Exactly.
What the hell? And you know what? Then, my students will survive. I've got a really good sub.
Yeah, they will. Them kids, they're going to be just fine. And while you're there, you get to have the surprise lunch experiments. So if you've never done a discovery worksheet, you might be doing one at Diet Detox.
All righty.
We're going to do all the things. It's going to be so fun. I'm ready to teach that one. I'm just excited.
I'm excited. I'm really excited to be there.
Awesome. All right. We will see you soon then.
You take care.
All right.
Thanks. Thank you. Bye-bye. You too.
All right, everybody. That is it for today. I even got through all my queens. Surprise lunches. Yes. So, and it's, don't be too scared. We're not doing anything y'all have never done before. We're just doing it. It's just going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun, but you're going to learn a lot. So don't be like worried. There's everything that we're doing at Diet Detox. I will promise all of you, there's no wrong way to do it. I am purposely putting you in positions to just see what naturally comes up, because very often you're afraid to do that when you're at home and you don't necessarily have a Corinne there to guide you through it. And you don't have coaches sitting there to guide you through it. It's just a really good opportunity for a couple of days to be like, okay, we're going to try these things that I might've always been scared of trying and stuff, but in such a safe way with a lot of help and with your other people doing it with you. So it's like, you can all laugh about how funny it is that we all think the same ways and we all had the same issue and we all did the same things. Like, I want it to feel like when you walk out of there, I want you to feel like, okay, I see how normal all this is. I am not broken. This is so fixable. This is not nearly as scary as I've always made it out to be, to lose weight, to change my relationship with food, to let go of some of this stuff. Like, I just want y'all all walking out of there being like, I'm so glad I came. I'm so glad I came. All right. Y'all, I have had fun today. I told Chris, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just enjoying the coaching today. So I've had a lot of fun. I am now going to go work out and I promise myself that I would go. I do not want to, But I've made, one of the hacks I do is I make commitments to people. I made a commitment to Chris. I made a commitment to y'all. There is no way that I would, like, I am just one of those people that if I say it out loud, I would rather follow through than have to say I didn't. I'm okay with not following through with myself. This is one of the reasons why I verbally declare things, is because when I promise me, it's never as important as when I promise someone else. And since I know that about myself, I use it as a hack to get things done. That is one of the secret tips. It's not so secret now, but that is one of the things we will be talking about at the Queen of Your Life stuff. So if you have a hard time following through with discipline and things like that, I'm going to be giving you a lot of the ways that I think about discipline, think about consistency, and all the little things that I do that a lot of you think, like, I shouldn't have to tell someone else. You know, my own words should be enough for me. Why? Why should it be? There's no one gets a bigger, better trophy because they did it only because they promised themselves. No one. It's like, I just want to accomplish this. And whatever it's going to take to get my ass going in that direction, I am willing to hack my way there. And that's the secret right there. All right. I'm going to the gym. Back and biceps. It's time. Bye, y'all.